America. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of business, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our MBA degree program is 100% online, with emphases in business analytics and finance to help you reach your goals. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Go find me, love us, we love you. If you're at the Bone 10 on Friday night, call in. We'd like to hear from you folks also. Look, I thought I met everybody Friday night well. And then I'm seeing pictures on social media of people that were there that I didn't see or didn't talk to.
Yeah, same.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I never saw Dom.
Didn't see Dom either.
And Pumpkins. I never saw him. Where the hell were they?
I don't know. I didn't see him.
I didn't see SBK. He was there.
I know. SBK. I saw a picture of him. Yeah. I didn't see him.
What the hell?
I don't know.
Weird. Yeah. So I think we probably saw most people, though. What a blast.
Yeah, it ended up being a very good time.
Oh, my God. Look, and I said something to Corey. You know, I didn't want to be corny or anything like that. You know, I had a couple of whiskey sours in me. But I had to go, before I left, when we were kind of wrapping things up, I had to pull Corey Cardinal to the side and give him kudos. Because he was running back of the house. You know, the side stage, his job to make sure that all these narcissists were on their point and knew where they were supposed to be, made sure their microphones were working, and they... I mean, that it sounds simple. But that is a tough damn job. That's a real tough job. You know, it's being a stage manager for a bunch of assholes, you know, basically. And myself included. And he knocked it out of the park. And of course, the legend, Ed Weigel, being there.
Yeah, that was cool to meet Ed.
Doing the announcements live and in person. I hung out with him. I talked to Ed for a while that night.
Very sharp dresser.
He's a smooth cat.
Yeah.
41 years as one of the top voiceover artists in the country, if not the world.
Golden Pipes, yeah.
I mean, dude, and just, I wanted to talk to him all night because that's the way he talks.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of voiceover guys, it's like, you know, they get on there and they're like, in a world full of darkness, one man, one hope. But then they talk to you and they're like, yeah, I do voiceovers. Ed is Ed.
Real deal.
24/7. He's like, Johnny B., great to see ya. And I'm like, you know who I am, Ed Weigel? And he goes, of course, big fan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
He came up to well, I guess it was both of us. I think I remember that, right?
Yeah.
We were both kind of standing there, and I was like, hey, man. I didn't know who it was. And I was like, wow, you got a great voice.
He's like, I'm Ed.
And I was like, oh, you're Ed, hey!
I go, Will, that's Ed Weigel, man. And you're like, he's like, yes, you're Will Combs.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, dude, he's a cool, cool dude. Love him. So I gave Corey major props. I believe I told Michael Olivero great job too. But I mean, everybody. Fisher was running all the sound.
Yep.
Dan Connolly. I mean, all these. Christina, all the people in promotions. I met some of the new promotions folks. Lexi was one of the new girls.
Is that a cute one with the glasses?
Yeah. Brain farting the little Gary Coleman, but bigger guy.
with the
flat top. Uh-huh. Brain farting his name. Super nice kid, though. And it was another guy, too. Very handsome Hispanic dude with a camera. But, yeah, everybody kicked ass. Kicked ass, and the live shows were awesome too. Roger and JP doing the top 10 words that we can't say on the radio, but we could say here. So the live, giving everybody the live show they really wanted, where we were all just potty mouths and being ourselves. You know, I thought it was fantastic. So it was really, really cool meeting so many listeners that I haven't met, and then of course being reunited with folks that we haven't seen in person in years because of the pandemic. I think that made it that much better. When's the last time even 7 or 8 of us personalities been in the same area? The last Punch Out, maybe? Christmas party, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say probably Christmas party 2019, right?
Yeah. So that was the last time we'd all kind of hung out together. So it was dope. It was super, super awesome. I was having fun. I was up before the show started in mezzanine throwing Johnny B Show stickers down on people. It was raining on people.
Nice.
That was really, really
cool. That was a smart move. I always forget my, because I want to bring my podcast stickers.
Yeah.
I always forget.
Yeah, so that was neat. And, man, I must have taken so many pictures with people and hugging so many people and just not worrying about whether, you know, somebody's going to get sick or whatever. You know, just It felt normal again. Felt really, really good. I was fighting allergies all week. I had to sing the national anthem, and I got to tell you, I barely pulled it off. Like, I felt...
You did great. I listened to it.
Yeah, but the entire time, I felt my voice, my vocal cords were at their limit.
Oh, about to give out.
And at any second, I could crack. And just a week before that, like, if you go back 2 weeks, I was in the shower a couple of weeks ago singing notes that I didn't think I could even hit anymore, to the point where Leah walked in the bathroom and goes, Jesus, are you trying out for The Voice now? Because I've never heard you sound better. And I go, I know. I wish I was singing the anthem today. And I said, I'll be fine next week. And then what happens? Goddamn Spanish moss or something attacks me, and all of a sudden allergies out the yin yang. So, yeah, it was good. So, well, how was your experience, and how much do you remember of the bone tape?
Well, probably more than Spike. But that's all. Spike's been getting it from all angles. I did hear the Mo when he first got on, and they were talking about it. And I love Spike's mentality, if you want to call it that, because he's was clearly hammered. I said what as soon as I saw him,
he was drunk. Unhinged at times.
Not crazy.
Not in an angry way.
Not in an angry way. He was just very jovial and just wanted to be in the mix at all times, 100%.
It was like if you were in a family full of 10 children and the one kid wanted the attention of the parents more than everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I loved him. He's like, well, I don't remember that, so it must not have happened. Yeah. And he refused to believe everybody who's telling them that it happened.
Yeah.
I like that. It's very 2022. He's like, I identify as a sober man.
I remember at one point, I think it was Galvin, like in the middle of the Springer segment, goes, dude, you're about to get fired.
Well, I saw him even before the show. I was like, oh, you get started early. I saw you at Hooters.
Yeah.
And he was getting his party on. I you know, whatever.
He was having a good time, and I love that. I love that he was having a good time, but there was moments where I was getting nervous for him.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was going to fall off the stage. I didn't think he was going to get fired, but I thought he was going down.
Yeah, yeah, it was, and I could see he was annoying some people, and I was like, you know, I wasn't annoyed, I was definitely concerned.
I was just like watching it happen. It was like watching a car wreck.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was enjoying a lot of it.
He was apologizing before he left here, and I don't apologize to us.
Man. Yeah,
we're just observers.
Absolutely,
didn't bother me any, but I know it definitely bothered some other people, so you might need to go through and maybe. I don't know, send those apologies to
all of our bosses.
Some of the people who are running the show. I don't know. Look, he's got his excuses for what happened. I don't know. I do remember that. That's for sure. I brought a nice bottle of this this bourbon that I've been saving for a long time. It's this one called Weller's. And I figured, well, this is a special occasion. I'm going to bring it. I know Mo likes bourbon. I know John Senning's into bourbon. You will enjoy some bourbon. There's a lot of bourbon people there. So I offered it up pretty freely. And I remember at one point I came in and half the bottle was gone. Now, that also might have been me. I don't know. But I was like, whoa.
I had a little bit.
Yeah, I got to put this aside so it doesn't get, it's not gone within 10 minutes. I was pretty lit up before. I kind of forgot. I remember sitting back in the backstage room with you and Mo, and we were watching the show.
Yeah.
You know, the show in that area on the TV. And Drew was there too.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool little cluster of folks back there. It was we were actually in Calta's dressing room, and we were watching the monitor.
And I was sitting there, and I was going, wow, I'm glad this is almost over. I'm pretty drunk.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, we still got Jerry Springer to go. Yeah. So I stopped. I drank a few bottles of water and slowed down. I remember being at Frenchie's, but I don't remember Frenchie's, if that makes any sense. I don't remember at all.
You were hysterical at Frenchie's because I knew you were done, right? And for people that have never hung out with Will drunk, it's very hard to tell. He's not staggering. He's not really slurring. He's just different, right? It's just a different version of you. So we get to Frenchie's, ton of people there. Oh, man, I hung out with so many great people there. Clark and God, I'm trying to think of everybody's names. I mean, I met all kinds. There was this handsome black guy that looked like Mekhi Phifer that lives in Brandon. And
oh, yeah. I talked to that. I do remember that. I talked to that guy. He was
super
cool.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
And he said he's going to call in, too, because he told me something there. And I'll wait for him to call in because I told him to tell the story on air.
Yeah.
But super, super cool guy. I had a little buzz, but I wasn't gone or anything like that. But then Chicago Pete, you know, walk up. Here's the thing. On the way there, I remember going, oh, man, I wanted to bring cigars with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't smoke cigars every day. I like to have a good setting for it, like a good event, like Bone 10 with other folks that like cigars. So I know that you like cigars. I know that, you know, Super Agent Tony Burton's there. I know that JP, you know, he was there. So I get there and Chicago Pete's there and he's like, got a bag of cigars. I see him and I'm walking up and he goes, hey, are you a cigar guy? I go, yeah. And he goes, I got some Cubans. I'm like, yes. Yes, sir. Thank you. So him, I, JP, Tony Burton, you know, we're all firing up stogies back there. Here comes Drunk Will, right? You come walking in with your lady, right? And I'm like, and I look at you, I start laughing. I go, Will's hammered, right?
It's probably, you can see it in my eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you walk up, and I don't think I would ever have done this with anybody else, except for maybe Whitmore.
Uh-huh.
You go, what kind of cigar you got there? I said, it's Cuban, man. Got it from Pete. And you said, can I try it? I would never share a cigar with a man. They're slobbery, right?
Yeah.
And I went, yeah. And I just handed it to you. You took a couple puffs off of it and handed it back to me. And I was like, I don't care, man. At this point, I'll share spit with Will. I don't care.
Yeah, and we've known each other long enough.
Exactly.
Now.
But you went, oh, yeah, that's real good. And I was like, laughing. I was like, yeah, dude. And I turned around just laughing so hard because you were so hammered. And then it was another point, too, where I guess it went back to that thing you had with Roger and JP and Monica. Where they kind of lectured you and all that. After you said you were better than 80%.
Yes.
So you're staring at JP. He's standing next to me. And out of nowhere, you just go, why do you think I hate you?
Oh, you know why he said that, though?
Uh-uh.
There's rationale behind it. Because he said that. He's like, do you still hate me?
Oh, is that what he said? I didn't hear that part.
No.
I didn't hear that part. I thought you just out of nowhere said that.
Yeah, no. He said that to me like early in the night.
And oh, I was
like,
okay.
And he said something about like, oh, I gave you a dressing down or something. I was like, yeah, you did. I wish I would have known what I was walking into that day. But no, that's why I said that.
Oh, okay.
And I was just trying to make, you know, conversation at that point. He didn't really seem too interested.
Right.
So
yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, but that part was funny. I was like, oh, man, this is something else. And then before you left, you were like, you said, man, tonight was awesome. And I said, yeah, dude. I said, dude, a lot of people are freaking out to meet you, Will. And you went, I know. It's the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah.
And you looked like you were about to get emotional. And that almost got me emotional. I was like,
yeah.
And I felt so good for you. You know what I mean? Like, because I was also having those experiences Friday night, too, where I was like, damn, this feels good. Having people, like, happy to meet me or happy to see me again, you know, because we never get to see these people, you know.
Right,
we're doing the show on, you know, in the studio or at our homes, and they're in their cars or at work or whatever, and it sounds corny, but to just be able to have that human connection person to person,
sure,
and have them say, man, I love your show, or man, you're so funny, and you go, damn, you know, like, it's validation, you know, we're actually reaching people, and now we get to see the fruits of our labor.
And talk to those people.
Yeah.
Because I saw a stat, or heard a stat, I guess is more accurate, that I think something like 1% of people that listen to the radio actually interact with
right.
the program. And maybe that's a little higher now with social media, but probably not much more.
Yeah.
The majority of people don't interact. So you don't even know they're there.
Yeah.
Really. So it was cool. Like seeing a bunch of people that were like, oh, hey, let's see you guys all the time.
Yeah.
That was neat. Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. And I did what I do at a lot of bars at Frenchie's. I shut it down. Like I do this with comedy shows. I do this with just hanging out with Leah at a bar. It's not like I don't have a home or I don't have a place to be, but when I'm having a good time and I'm hanging out with people, all of a sudden, you know, they turn the lights off on the patio and the lights on in the bar, and I'm like, are they closing? And one of the bouncers is like, yeah, man, we're closing. We called last call.
It's like 1 a.m., right?
Yeah.
I don't think I made it for that.
You didn't.
I think I had to go home.
Yeah.
It was time for me to go. I fell asleep in the car.
Yeah, so I drove home, you know, Clearwater to
Valrico.
Wasn't driving,
by the way.
Yeah, I know you Ubered. You better Uber. But, yeah, so it was a good, you know, hour and 40 minutes home for me.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.